What are we doing? What are we doing
We're
with our
talking
lives?
about perfect.
What are we doing?
It's gone.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I am Echoey, and that's Joe.
I'm Joe. I got in trouble for messing around and I messed up the equipment.
Don't know. Am I echoing? I can't tell. It
No.
does sound weird.
You're fine.
Oh, boy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And we've established that I'm Joe. And I've No. So I was playing around and moved the microphone, and now Scott is going to be in complete and utter terror because I moved the microphone and it's not going to be where he wants to be the whole entire podcast. So,
You know, you have something nice,
but
and
you
then you
have a really
gotta,
cute smile on your face right now.
you gotta throw everything into jeopardy.
I know.
Hey, what are we doing today?
Talking trash.
Are we talking trash today?
Talking trash.
Talking
I'm talking
trash.
about perfect.
Calm down, calm down. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And what, and if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And today, Joe already said, we're talking about the movie Perfect.
John Travolta.
I would gladly take one of your aerobic classes if you let me interview you.
I was really beginning to like you too.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
How many times a year do you fall in love, Adam?
Depends on the subject.
He's a reporter for Rolling Stone.
I might want you to be the focus of my story.
She's his next story.
I don't want to be the focus of anything.
If this story isn't his last.
I warned you not to put our name in that article.
Oh, perfect.
I got a plane to catch. Another story to write.
We're from the FBI.
They can send you to jail.
That's a risk I'll have to take, isn't it?
Good reporter would never. Getting better with the subject.
You keep forgetting something. I'm not your subject.
Do you think that people that are in better shape have better sex?
Oh. Yeah. I read your little story. You lied to me.
Has he gone nuts?
Too many sprouts.
What is so wrong with wanting to be perfect?
John Travolta. Jamie Lee Curtis in the James Bridges film.
This is to be continued.
Perfect.
You know how I know it's called Perfect?
Because I say it 10 times.
Perfect.
Probably could say it more, and maybe we didn't catch it every time, but I know it's called Perfect.
Well, I was definitely listening because I knew they were going to say it a million times.
What is so wrong with wanting to be perfect?
So.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where you go, is this gonna happen? Is this gonna happen? Yeah, probably this is gonna happen. Now, look, this is a 2-hour film. It's a 2-hour film that takes its time to let us know that gossip columnists are assholes.
Well, who would you be going after?
Well, it's not who, it's what.
Oh, excuse me, what would you be going after?
Health clubs.
Oh, gross.
No, why not do a story about how they're turning into the singles bars of the 80s? Find a couple, do a non-fiction love story.
With pictures?
Yes, lots of pictures. Be hilarious, particularly set in Los Angeles. You know, inflated bodies, airheads,
hot tubs,
yes,
alfalfa sprouts.
Absolutely.
We haven't done LA in a long time. I mean, it would be wonderful.
Sounds great.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah, this is 1985's Perfect. It has a 4.7 on IMDb from 6,000 reviewers, a 46 on Metacritic. It was directed and co-written by James Bridges, the director of China Syndrome and Urban Cowboy.
Oh, okay.
It stars John Travolta, who is on a string of flops. Urban Cowboy, Blowout, Staying Alive, Two of a Kind. After this film, he didn't make another successful movie. In fact, he made another strings of failures right after this movie and critical disaster, starting with the movie The Experts. But he finally made a comeback in 1994 in Pulp Fiction. But literally, this career was on a downward spiral of insanity.
Well, he was doing amazing. He had made Grease, then he made Saturday Night Fever, then backwards, he made Staying Alive.
Saturday Night Fever before Grease.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, was it?
Yeah, and he was on Welcome Back, Kotter.
I thought Saturday Night Fever came out.
No, I looked it up.
Okay.
Fun fact, I'm right.
Yeah, after those movies came out, he just made failure after failure, like huge flops. It's a shock because some of the movies like Blowout are really good.
We love Blowout.
And it was a huge failure for him. So it's crazy. This also stars Jamie Lee Curtis, who also didn't have another critical hit after this movie or success commercially until A Fish Called Wanda in 88.
Really? Wasn't she in... Was that her in Trading Places?
That was before this.
That was before this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. All
yeah, right. This movie kind of killed a lot of people's careers. It didn't do any justice for anybody.
Did she do Prom Night before this too?
Yes, of course. That was in her early days of doing all horror films.
Terror Train?
I would say yes.
We love Terror Train.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
I do not like Terror Train. I like Road Games.
Oh, yeah, Road Games.
This also stars Lorraine Newman, who was one of the original SNL cast members. And also Mary Lou Henner, who was dating John Travolta during this movie.
They were?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. That's a weird... When you watch the movie and you know that, it's kind of strange. This actress was on the show Taxi.
Yeah, she's so pretty.
Also... has a like a side plot line starring Kenneth Welsh, who was on Twin Peaks as Wyndham Earl.
Earl was the best and brightest among us, but when our attention turned from outer space to the wooded area surrounding Twin Peaks, he became destructively obsessive. Earl acted in an overzealous and secretive manner, possessive of his assignments, finally violent. He was removed from the project.
Now, let me ask you something, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
What genre is this movie?
Well, I mean, I guess they might call it a romance.
Is that what you think this movie was like?
I mean,
it would be categorized as romance?
I mean, I would think so. It's not a drama. I mean, is it a drama?
Yeah, this is my question to you. You tell me.
Okay, I'm going to say it's a romantic drama.
Yeah, you're right. I do not feel either of those things.
No, I don't either. There's little to no romance in this. There's sex, but there's not romance. It's like not like a love story, is it?
That's my thing. It's a 2-hour film. That I don't even know if the movie knows what it is.
Was it 2 hours because we watched it on
TV? No, it is actually 2 hours.
Oh, for God's sake. First of all, this movie had barely a plot.
Yeah.
I was wondering through the whole movie, like, at what point, like, is this going to end? Because it just kept going.
They could have called this movie the padding, the movie. They literally could. Because every scene feels like padding. But for what? Usually you watch a movie that is barely can fit an hour. So they're like, well, we have to make it feature length, so let's pad out another half an hour.
Yeah.
This is one of those rare movies that the whole movie feels like padding.
Speaking of padding, do you realize that not one woman in this whole entire movie had any padding on her breasts? They were just flopping about.
I mean,
flop, flop, flop everywhere, okay? I couldn't stop staring.
And the guy's balls also didn't have much padding, so...
I could not help myself, okay? I was laughing my ass off. I was staring at everybody's crotch. I couldn't help it.
This is the reason that this movie is even worthy of talking about is that it is highly entertainingly sexualized.
Oh my God.
Because it's hot people doing gyrating movements, and giving the best fuck face you've ever seen.
I mean, honestly, damn the plot. Okay, I could literally sit here and talk about the gyrating for an hour. There were men in these aerobics classes, and every time they thrusted in and out, like just full on thrusting, like they were just going for the whole thing. I could not help but wonder, does that hurt? Because their package and their bits were literally flopping around, like back and forth, like there's no way, like those ball hammock shorts in the 80s that everybody wore offered any protection to these guys. And I felt bad for John Travolta during that one scene that he had in the aerobics class with her, where it was a 25-minute long gyrating sequence.
You mean the scene that we could not stop laughing hysterically?
Oh, God. Jesus.
Please don't show him from his waist down. I can't. Oh, my God.
Still going. I mean, he's...
Just don't lift any higher, please. His ball's gonna come flapping out of the side.
I mean, at this point, they could have just showed a sex scene. How long is this?
I mean, he was having the time of his life. He was laughing. I think he was pretty
We were.
Yeah, he was laughing too. He had this like...
Well, he has a I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, face. It was like a cute smile, like John Travolta's cute smile.
It's wild.
But he could have been literally engaging in a sexual act at that moment because... I mean, I just could not stop staring. I was waiting for a ball to fall out of those shorts any minute. I was looking. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't. And it was everybody, even Jamie Lee.
Well, like, no, Jamie Lee Curtis is her. Okay. It's almost like the movie itself is a celebration of her body.
Yeah.
Because anytime she's on screen, it's kind of captivating.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime anything else is happening, it's like you don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's so... There's no reason to care about anything in this movie. The plot is short and sweet. He's a reporter for Rolling Stone. There's two different plot line stories that he's writing. One of them, it has to do with this guy who's a criminal. His name is Mackenzie. He did something, and he's... And I guess that John Travolta's character, Adam, is reporting on that story. Meanwhile, he's being sent off to... Los Angeles to report on health clubs.
No, he actually goes to Los Angeles. Well, he actually comes up with the idea that he can follow that story because there's people in Los Angeles to interview for the first story. But right. He gets the idea while trying to hunt down information on the story.
Right.
And by the way, this is for Rolling Stone magazine.
I feel like that story is kind of beneath them.
I feel like they're more of an entertainment, like gossip and like, you know, like interviews for famous people.
Yeah, like this music.
This is like a like Newsweek. Like I don't know what the hell any of this would be in a Rolling Stone.
A story for the National Enquirer, some Star magazine. You know those rags.
Are you talking?
That our moms used to read when we were young. Remember Star Magazine? I think they still make Star Magazine.
Yeah, but are you talking about the workout one or the Wyndham Earl one?
The Mackenzie one.
Yeah, well, I'm going to call him Wyndham Earl.
You don't believe me, do you? Think I'm mad. Overworked. Go away.
Yeah, the Mackenzie article does not feel like... Neither one does, but I do agree that the National Choir one feels like the workout one because it's a full, I mean, what comes out of this movie is that he's writing a gossip column.
It seems like, yeah, like a gossip column. Like
I stir up like fear or resentment to the health club industry.
See, the thing about it is, like, okay, who gives a shit about this McKenzie plot? He's following this story, and
the movie does.
I mean, but it's like, we don't care.
I know.
Like, he has this interview with this guy who's a criminal. Apparently, he's not a criminal. And he's got an interview and tapes that he interviewed him to prove that he is innocent. But he won't turn them over to the FBI.
Because it would ruin the case. They would know how to attack him during the court case.
Right. So, okay, one plot line.
That's the giant back plot line. It's like a side plot line that isn't necessary to the movie.
It's not, because, like, if you're going to make this like a romantic drama, you can just focus on Jamie Lee the whole time. And I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis's backstory drama.
Yeah.
His deciding to be a better journalist, and the people of the health club, because there's a ton of them. Any of those things could have just been the movie, and it could have been an hour and a half. It could have been cut down.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It didn't even need to be an hour and a half. This could have been an hour and 20 minutes, and it would have been so much easier. You pad out the time by showing all the workout stuff, which is what, let's face facts, probably the biggest draw to the film.
I mean, come on. The ball sacks bouncing back and forth. The boobies, you know, going up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
This movie was just like, okay, we can sell this just basically on the bodies.
Yeah.
Because there was really, like, the plot was just mediocre. It was like, okay, whatever.
Well, I mean, I do kind of want to talk out some of the things in this movie that there's a lot of bizarre choices and this weird padding. This director feeling like people are going to be interested in the multiple storylines of this guy's career, while also giving us storylines for other characters.
Yeah.
Like, again, this is like Showgirls all over again, where it's like, oh, there's a whole bunch of characters going on. And do we necessarily need any of these characters?
No.
So, I mean, some of them can connect into the storyline of the romance, quote-unquote romance, but not really. I don't know. But the movie starts off where, you know, it even goes to show you his career, early career. For some reason, starts off, it could just start off with him being a Rolling Stones writer. But it starts off with what they think is a clever setup for the film, where he's writing for an obituaries for a newspaper. And he's like, I'm sick of it. And the head of the newspaper tells him,
calm down, Adam, relax. It isn't going to last forever. Think of it this way. This is your last chance in journalism to write anything nice about anybody.
And we cut 5 years later, and then we see he has made a pretty successful career as a journalist.
Yeah.
But he's exactly the thing that guy said he was going to be. But he doesn't even seem to know that exists. There's no grief or struggle in this guy. He's just kind of a dirtbag who's only looking, which is so crazy, because we're supposed to think that this guy's a good guy because he won't give the tapes up for this one character. That's a big plot line. And like we said, in background plot line of him investigating what seems to be a real important case, while also deciding to write a gossip columnist saying that health clubs are the new, like,
80s single
hookup
scene,
bar.
You know, like a hookup.
Yeah, place. The new sex club.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know why his brain works like this. You would think that he's like, you know, Woodstein, you know, like, you know, burn, you know, the
Woodstein?
Hmm?
Who?
You know, the journalist who, the Watergate scandal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you think that they're breaking, and he's breaking important news, and he's...
No, he's literally doing nothing. This is stupid. This is like you said, it's like, you know, like Glamour magazine or, you know, stupid crap like that. That's a, you know, this, that's a story for those kind of rags.
Yeah, that's, it doesn't seem like his character would be doing these two articles.
No. Not at all.
I said Woodstein. Did I say Woodstein?
You said Woodstein.
I combined the two writers' names. It's Bernstein and Woodward.
Like, I don't know what he's trying to get out right now. So I'm just going to stay quiet.
I was close. I'm just doing what I do best and smashing people's names together.
But we love it. So this guy is like a journalist, and you think that he has some kind of like integrity.
But yeah, but I wanted to say that. He apparently wrote a terrible article on what's the singer?
Carly Simon.
Carly Simon shows up in this film.
Shit.
What?
Carly Simon just walked in.
Oh, God.
She hated the story you did on her.
I know. Hi, Carly.
I read that shit you wrote about me.
Oh, come on, Carly. You know, the only thing worse than being written about is not being written about.
The throw a drink in his face because he wrote a scathing article on her.
Yeah, it was amazing, too. It was a good scene, because I was like, wow, to have Carly Simon throw a drink in your face?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
I saw a funny bit in the trivia for this movie, which is crazy, and I'm like, how do they not know this? But apparently in the movie, he mentions that he has an offer from another company, like a magazine or whatever, and... He says that he has a deal with Simon and Schuster.
Okay, it's a publishing company, isn't it?
Owned by the father of that singer.
Oh, shit.
They're like, what a goof. He would not sign with this guy who wrote a terrible article about his daughter.
No.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
but like automatically, funny. Like, okay, I'm going to say this. When she throws a drink in his face for writing a bad article about her, it still took me a little while after that to realize that he's not a good guy.
It took you a while after
that?
Yeah,
it did, because he has such a charming face, and he didn't really want to, like, he didn't come off as, like, a sleazeball, you know? Like, you know, you've seen some sleazeballs. He didn't come off like that. He was.
Is it just because he's cute?
I mean, that helps. He's John Travolta in the 80s. He was cute. Like, Tony Manero was a sleazeball.
His character
of Tony Manero in Saturday Night Fever, he was the worst.
Yeah, I agree.
But he didn't come off like that. He came off at least a little charming, you know? Can we just talk all about this health club that he decides to write this piece on?
He finds
it in the Yellow Pages, and it's called The Sports Connection.
Yes. He goes from New York to California to not only follow the Wyndham Earl case, but also the idea of these health clubs, which is, like you said, what is it called?
Well, it's called The Sports Connection,
yes.
But at one point I was asking you, I'm like, did he say the sports erection? Because all I kept thinking about was just balls, because, you know, they were just... so many balls in this movie.
And your mind was messed up because you kept hearing everybody as something.
Yeah. And I was like, this can't be right. Like, when they introduced Jamie Lee Curtis, I heard Chesty. Her name is Chesty. No, it's not. It's Jesse.
Jesse.
And I just had, like, I don't know, boobs and balls on the brain.
You know what's funny? I thought you said Testy. Is her name Testy?
No, Chesty. It was clearly they were saying Chesty. I don't know. I lost my mind. But there was just so much thrusting, pelvic thrusting in this movie, and boobs just bouncing around and stuff. I couldn't get my head right. I mean, it was crazy. There was a lot of it. But surprisingly, there was no, like, actual nudity.
Yeah, it's rated R.
Yeah.
But nothing happens.
No, I think it's because they do, profanity.
I don't even remember a lot. I would think that maybe sexual
innuendos.
But
it's not, it wasn't in your face that much that it would be a rated R movie. Like,
The 10 to 15 minute constant thrusting sequences where people are looking at each other, it definitely is in your face.
I mean, I guess
that's the only reason the movie's even made.
I would give it a PG-13. I mean, Jaws was PG and it had boobs in it, so come on, you know.
You can't see them.
But it's suggestive.
Yeah.
She's floating.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So,
well,
this club though, it's jam packed with people. I mean, I don't know how clubs, like, you know, health clubs were in the 80s, if they were really like this. But I do know that there were, like, aerobics classes and stuff. And Jamie Lee Curtis is an aerobics class teacher. She's an instructor. And I gotta tell you, her body is so beautiful in this. Like, she just looks so good.
I hate to use the word perfect, but yeah.
But can I just say,
she has an incredible body.
A few years after this movie, she made True Lies, and her body was stacked.
Many years later, yeah.
Yes, but her boobs have gotten bigger.
She's never, well, she had kids.
Yeah, but you can't tell in True Lies that she had kids. I mean, her body is ridiculous.
She's always looked like this. Like, that's the craziest thing. Now, can we talk about, I would like to use this movie to talk about weird rumors that we grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a really strange rumor about Jamie Lee Curtis growing up.
What was the rumor?
The rumor is that she, you know what I'm talking about. She was, people would say that she was a hermaphrodite.
What?
This was like a very well-known, like, spread rumor about her.
Why? Because she had short hair?
No one knows. I have never understood it, but I've always loved Jamie Lee Curtis. So I've never understood, but I'm like, how could that conversation even be on the table when you see movies like this? Like, I'm like, you can see the whole thing. There's no possibility.
Where would anybody get a notion like that?
There's a lot of those weird, a lot of people don't know before the, people who are listening who don't know about before the internet, where everything was, now everything's just a lie. We would only get rumors, like, passed around. Like, there was a famous rumor about Richard Gere, you know, with the gerbil.
He shoves gerbils up his butt?
Yeah, which kind of is now well known of why that rumor started with he had a huge fight with Sylvester Stallone, and apparently Sylvester Stallone spread that rumor.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know. I don't even know how it came about. Things get started.
And this rumor baffles me, especially when this movie should be the case study of why that can't be, you know, even a possibility. Like, why would anybody even talk about that?
I mean, why would anyone think about that in the first place?
I don't know. I've never understood this rumor.
Even, like, in her early movies, she always looked feminine and, like, a woman. I don't understand that.
I don't either. I don't know how this... You never heard this before.
No.
That blows my mind. I thought you definitely knew what I was talking about.
I never heard that. Okay. People were saying that about her.
This was the thing that when I heard it and I saw True Lies, I was like, how could anybody ever have said this?
Oh my God.
And then now I see this movie because this is one of those movies that, I mean, I'm sure it probably played on HBO at a weird time at some point during our childhoods, but there was no other reason to see this movie. Like, we wouldn't have seen this movie. I'm shocked that we never did. Because I feel like John Travolta was just one of those actors you would watch his movies.
I love John Travolta movies. I grew up watching John Travolta. So, like, I'm shocked I didn't see it either. But then again, you know, we didn't have, like, cable.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, the only way you knew is going to Blockbuster or one of these video stores and seeing the tapes.
And that was never something that I would never journey over to that particular section because I would be renting, like, The Never Ending Story or something, you know?
Nice.
Or Thriller. I wore out that tape. But I would have no reason to see this as a kid, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's so strange. And when I was looking at Travolta's career, I was like, holy shit, he really did make a lot of bad movies. Or at least a lot of non-hits.
I mean, a lot of actors make bad movies. I mean, they just swept under the rug more often.
Well, it's funny because he's such a household name.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see his filmography, you're like, holy shit, mm-hmm. not many good ones like I thought he did. Yeah. Which is, it just kind of blew my mind looking at it a little bit. But yeah, this is one of those ones that just snuck under the radar. Now, I think it's really funny to talk about the club in this movie. The erection?
This is called the sports erection.
The sports erection. I love the differences between now and then. So we were talking about this a little bit. It's like very well known now that people do not like going to the gym for multiple reasons. Like, people do go to the gym. It's very, very popular. But now the internet has made it like okay to film yourself working out, to put it online. And men, now there's like a whole thing about men trying to hide from these women because they use it against them if they look. And they do this whole thing about it. And a lot of guys don't want to be on film. So there's a lot of weird videos out there of guys trying to get off the camera and doing things to not have their face on camera. and people point it out and mock it so much that I've heard that a lot of gyms now try to stop the social media filming.
A young woman is working out at the gym when she gets some unwanted attention from a very persistent guy. When he comes too close, she's had enough.
Don't come near me.
Yesterday, I made a video about these two girls that were pointing and mocking a guy in their gym that was just trying to work out.
You see it all the time. You go to the gym and spot someone filming themselves exercising or posting to TikTok or social media.
It's like they're on the treadmill going like this.
Yes, and you're in the background sweating like crazy.
Yes, you're like, what are you doing? But now, okay, some gyms, though, are pushing back against this whole fitness and influencers taking pictures and videos of themselves, even now banning recording.
That's funny because shout out to my girl Lisa, Real Movie Lovers, who sends me reels a lot of just funny things, people falling off the, you know, treadmills and people getting hurt and funny, just funny stuff all the time. And also, you know, my friend Kim, who also sends me videos like that. We're like, all these gym videos are so funny. I love them. They make me laugh. But I understand what you're saying, like, the ones that don't want them, like, the ones that are taking this seriously.
Yes, a lot of people go to actually get a workout, but a lot of people film themselves, too.
Yeah, but then, like, I mean, a lot of them are, like, total gym queens, too. Like, we were driving in the parking lot of a gym the other day, just the other day, and we saw this beefcake come out of the gym.
Yeah, this was...
I have never seen anything like this guy, okay? He was something. He purposely, like, manscaped himself, his whole entire body, to go in, like, to look this way. And he goes to the gym like this, and he had these little tiny, like, you said he was wearing just underwear.
It looked like tight boxers.
They were, like, tighties, and his package was there. And he had this, like, workout belt on, and this... He looked like one of those Hans and Franz. Is that what they are, Hans and Franz?
Yes.
An SNL?
He looked like Hans and Franz if he had actually woke up that morning and gone to the spa to completely get a makeover. Like, you know,
oh, he walked out of that gym.
And
oh,
then
yeah.
Went to the gym and then had to go home and take another shower.
Oh, my God. He walked out. He walked into the gym looking probably like a Sasquatch. And then he came out all manscaped. Like, something had happened, like a miracle. Because his... eyebrows were plucked when he walked out of there. He had no body hair whatsoever, not even a single chest hair. And he had that little tiny tank top on where his nips were almost popping out and stuff. And I was like, wait, how did he look when he went inside?
Well, I'm saying that he went and got done up just to go to the gym. Like, it's now like a nightclub.
Well, like gym queens, yeah. But you know what's funny about that is, like, a lot of women that I know that go to the gym, they go in, you know, with their sweatshirts on, their workout pants, and put their headphones in. They don't want to be bothered at all.
Who's this?
Like, people I know that go to the gym.
Okay.
And, you know, like, girls that just want to go and work out and not be bothered. But then there's, like, this whole underworld of people who just go to the gym to get hit on, where they put on their, you know, fake eyelashes and their makeup and all sorts of, like, the gym queens.
That's the ones I'm talking about. They don't go to get hit on unless they want to get hit on. It's an odd culture.
So they're playing games.
Yeah, they're mostly doing it to film themselves for TikTok culture and reels and stuff like that. They're wearing the pants that show their ass perfectly. They, you know, they're getting done up, and then they're filming themselves doing squats. And then they don't want guys to hit on them. Some of them are filming fake joke videos of, like, them sitting on a guy, or by accident they're doing all these fake videos. That's why I was saying that people are trying to stop it, because it's making people uncomfortable. Because people are you know, there's a whole culture now where if a girl or a man want to like a person because they think they're attractive, but if a person comes onto them they find not attractive or below them, they say that they're stalking them or like creepy or cringy, yeah. Which I can't stand.
It's crazy out
and
there.
It is crazy. And watching this movie is like complete night and day of what our reality is now.
Yeah.
To compare to this. In this movie, the reality is that the gym is everybody's the best friend. Everybody just loves getting together and working out and having a great time. And everybody knows each other.
I mean, that's kind of cool, I guess.
But it would be cool reality if it was true.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'll stay fluffy. I don't need to go to the gym.
Well, that was my point. Like it now, you can't go without feeling completely alienated, where this movie was like, no, these people are actually having a good time together and they're meeting people and they're falling in love or whatnot.
Yeah, that's what this movie is. Like, the whole entire purpose of this piece that he's writing is to show that it's just basically a nightclub with some exercise thrown in. But really, the exercise is that everyone's getting together and hooking up.
Yeah, that's his goal. His goal seems to be to make everybody seem like they're, you know, they're going out of their way to all have sex with each other, like a bathhouse almost.
Yeah, but
like
that's one of not these weird happening.
Things you've heard about. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
why, it's not what's happening.
So what happens here is that he ends up sleeping with Jamie Lee Curtis. They end up hooking up.
Yeah, can we talk about that? Because you rush right into it. The way that this starts is he stalks her. It's virtually all the things people tell you now not to do.
Would you call it a stalking?
Yes, he does stalk her because he continuously tells her he wants to tape her giving an interview about the club. She tells him multiple times to stop and leave her alone, to the point where he finally has to help her with her car because her battery is dead. That's the meet cute where they're okay now. And he jumps her car and still is trying to get an interview, but says, you know what? Can I bring you to dinner? We don't have to do an interview. But then she says, yes. Now, it's like he's breaking down her defenses, right? Yeah. He's like, oh, do this. No. Okay, now I'll give you a chance. So they go out to dinner, right? And then, of course, at dinner, he tries to tape her again.
Yeah, I was like, okay, are you an idiot? Who does this?
Yeah, and she's like, no. And of course, he makes a reference to, he shows up back at her the workout thing that she's doing. She's like the head aerobics instructor, and which is great, by the way, because when they do aerobics, they like speed it up. It's like insane. It's like times 20. Oh my 20.
God, it was like double time. I was gasping for air, yeah, and I wasn't even watching. Doing it.
She didn't eat. She ate one meal a day, she said, and she said she worked out constantly just for this film.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah. She said it was like a nightmare. Jeez. Apparently, there's a rumor that she told, I believe, Gene Siskel that she wanted the Lorraine Newman character's role because she thought that was more interesting and sympathetic.
Lorraine Newman, she played the, was she the one that was the Frankie, the photographer?
No, she was the one that they were writing the article about.
Oh, she was Linda. Linda.
Yeah, yeah. One of the two, Linda and Sally.
Yeah.
But she went to dinner and he's still trying to meet her, get her to do an interview, and she's still saying no, but she's starting to, like I said, break down the defenses. She's starting to get into it. He shows back up at the dance thing, and she says to him, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I came just to make sure you didn't need to get another jump start.
He didn't say that. Oh,
no, start your battery or jump you?
I came to jump your battery.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure you didn't need me to jump you again.
Hi.
What are you doing here?
I just thought that I'd come by and see if you needed someone to help charge your battery.
All right, and then she's like...
Oh, that's funny.
And she's like... Hell yeah. No one is this aggressive and not being hot. So she goes back to his apartment and this movie's so weird because it shows us an entire, it's like a commercial for a computer. He has a laptop word processor type thing and they're writing on it and they have to show the whole thing, even erasing the words.
Like, I feel like the whole entire experience of learning about the computer with her was very pointless.
It goes on for 2 minutes or something. I'm like, what is this, a commercial?
Why do we need to learn about the computer? We know that you're going to sleep together.
Well, I was hoping not yet, but Jamie Lee Curtis is the one that says, hey, let's bone on the laptop. And then she writes it out. And then he goes, and then he has to write out an answer.
No, it wasn't cute. I was like, all right, I don't have time for this. Like, you just get to it already because
I agree.
Stop your grinning and drop your linen.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill Paxton.
But what's even better, Joe, is that he gets a phone call and stops the sex and goes out on a red eye to fly back to New York.
All right. I told you during this scene that if any, we weren't married, okay, and I was in this situation, any man that answered the fucking phone when we were almost there, I'm out, okay? Like, don't ever come back to me. You're done. Like, two middle fingers, you're done. That's it. We're done. I would have been pissed. She was just like, okay, see you later.
In fact, she goes, he goes, to be continued, and she says, I hope.
No, man, no.
I'm like, wow. Like, now, can I blow your mind even more? Because she has a tragic past with reporters.
Everything that happens with John Travolta and Jamie Lee Curtis is so ridiculous.
Yeah,
there's so much push and pull between the two of them. No, I won't give you an interview on tape. Oh, give me an interview. Oh, I won't give you an interview because I don't like reporters and I don't trust people, but I will have sex with you, so let's go do that.
That's my point, and that's... I hate that part of it. Like, I hate how fast she is willing to have sex with somebody she should have every warning sign for.
Right, like, he's trying to get something from her. And, yeah, and it's not just, you know, the booty. It's something else. Like,
and so, he also lies about what his article is going to be about.
Yeah, he out and out lies.
She calls him out and says, it's not going to be one of those articles about how we're a sex club.
Yeah.
And he goes, am I that transparent? But he's like, no, it's going to be about this. And he makes up all this shit to win her over. So he's already being a lying asshole.
Yeah, now the sleaze is coming in. Before,
it's there from moment one.
It was more subtle. Now he's just out and out a freaking sleaze. But I will say that him leaving when he could have just, you know, at least got a quickie, he left her in that moment. I'm like, okay, who does this? What is that?
Yeah, he actually zips her clothes back up.
I was like, what? What? No.
Yeah.
That will not happen. I don't care.
Yeah, it felt like the scene, the way they filmed it, was like he didn't even like lock up. He just like ran out. Your money's on the dresser type of feeling. But it's like he zips her up and they smile. And then the next scene is him flying to New York to do this interview. And he gets this interview and takes 3 hours to interview somebody while he drive around the park.
Central Park. He had to go back to New York and interview Mackenzie. This is the tapes that we're talking about.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit about this
plot. We don't even see it.
No.
The stuff that the movie thinks is interesting, they don't even give you the idea of what's happening.
Well, I mean, we don't. First of all, we're supposed to care about this plot line and this guy who's on trial, but they don't even show us the interview. So I'm like, what the fuck do we care for? Go back to Jamie Lee. And the fact that he... Okay, let's just count how many times John Travolta has been on airplanes in this movie, okay? I don't understand. It seems like everything's happening in a 2-day time span, but it's not. It can't be. Because he literally gets sent back and forth, and then he gets sent to Morocco.
There's a part where he's just in Morocco.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Like, so he has other stories, because apparently he had another story in Morocco. I'm like, okay, this is too much. You're putting too much in this movie that's basic, and you don't need a brain cell for this. You don't.
Exactly. He could have just been back in New York finding out that the article... We'll get to that. We're kind of jumping ahead. But yeah, there's a lot of shots in this movie that is filming things that are so unnecessary. Like you said, the Morocco thing. He's just randomly in a Moroccan like restaurant. And we're like, wait a minute. And you're like, oh, I'm like, where the hell is he? And you're like, he seems like he's in a Moroccan restaurant.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
I think he's
actually in Morocco. Like, what is this?
I thought at first that he was just going out for some Indian food. And I'm like, oh, he's in an Indian restaurant.
But randomly.
Who is he going to meet here? I thought he was going to like meet his boss, you know, the editor of the magazine or something like that. No, he literally was in Morocco. He was out in another, completely out of the United States. I'm like, why?
Yeah. And this is one of only 15 scenes filmed in this movie that are just like plays into another scene. Like, there is a scene where him and Jamie Lee Curtis go ski.
And aren't they supposed to be in California?
Yeah, well, Aspen.
That's in Colorado.
Yeah, but isn't it right outside?
I mean,
Yeah, they say it's only like a short drive to get to there, right? To Aspen, I believe.
I don't know. It seems like they're just traveling by map in this movie repeatedly.
Well, they take a drive, but they also say, like, well, the only reason I brought this up is because we watch the drive. We actually have to see, and for some reason the director left it in, but he put the camera on the side of the road, and the first car that drives by is a bunch of women just waving at the camera. And I said, why would he leave this in? Like, why? Is he trying to break the immersion? Does he think this is cute? The movie does this a lot. Just multiple weird shots of, like, at least 2 to 3 minutes of just driving. Or there, at the end of this movie, we haven't got there yet, but at the end of this movie, there is a 10-minute driving sequence of back and forth driving, people following each other. It's like, are you kidding me? Did you really have to film this?
It makes no sense, that the padding that they're putting in this movie. But just to give you an answer, going from Los Angeles to Aspen is 13 hours in the car. Okay, so that's 13 hours, and the flight time is a little over 4 hours. So, what? We didn't see them do any of this traveling at all. They were just there. And what was the reasoning to go to Colorado? We did not see them skiing. They literally sat on a bench and talked.
They did.
So, excuse me, what in the plot? Why do we need this? This was so stupid. This is one of those classic movies where it just doesn't need a plot at all. Like, there's just no reason to have a plot. It could have been the whole thing was he's a writer for a magazine, and he just wanted to do a piece on the health clubs in Los Angeles and how they're, you know, just like kind of singles bars, basically.
Yeah.
He could have just done, the whole plot could have just been that. But they throw all this extra shit in there, like, we care. I'm like, no. Just make it about Jamie Lee and the whole double cross, okay? That's we know it's going to be, there's going to be a double cross. I even said it to you in the beginning of the movie. I was like, there's definitely going to be a double cross here, right? So, yeah. They should have just made it about that.
I just wanted to point this out real fast. I looked up skiing in California. So I got Tahoe. Is a huge skiing community. Also, Mammoth Mountain Ski Area.
Okay, well, what month is it?
I don't know, but I mean, it is there. There is skiing resorts in California, so.
Okay, well, all right, well, whatever.
Who knows? I just wanted to point that out, because, no, I don't care. But that was just a conversation between us. Look, the movie is so easy to fix to make it a tighter romantic comedy, or romantic drama, or whatever that, dramedy, maybe? It's so weird. What's crazy is they're having this relationship. You find out, like, Jamie Curtis has a tragic past where she used to be a swimmer, an Olympic swimmer, and her coach and her got in a sexual relationship. And he was a married man, and it was a scandal. So, like, I guess a reporter leaked out all this information without her knowledge and ruined that guy's life and pretty much ruined her career. So she kind of fled and became this aerobics instructor. She kind of hid
from that's swimming. Her tragic past with reporters. They did her wrong.
And now going on this whole thing about John Travolta being some kind of good guy, not even close. Now, we already know that he...
I never said good guy.
And there's not one moment in this movie where I go, oh, he seems like a well-put-together human being who cares about other people's feelings. Not once. I mean, and there's so many signs that she should get the hell away from him. Because once he finds the story out, he starts trying to get a story out of it. And she's telling him, I have a tragic story with reporters. And I'm like, why are you even close to this guy? And he's still trying to tape you. And he's still trying to get information out. And he's telling her, I won't. Now, when they get a car ride from the ski resort, going home, the two of them alone in the car, he is secretly recording her.
Yeah, and he asks her outright, did you actually sleep with the coach, or was it just a scandal?
And she is about to answer before she realizes there's a tape recorder between his legs.
Yeah, she throws him out of the car, and she says, you know, you're, what did she call him?
A sphincter muscle.
A sphincter muscle.
Yeah, it's a rated R film, and she calls him a sphincter muscle.
Just say asshole.
Yeah, you're a huge asshole. Like,
it was just too painful. It was actually humiliating.
But was it true? I mean, did you have an affair with your coach?
What's that, Adam?
tape recorder.
Is it on?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of my car, Adam! Get out!
Jesus Christ!
You fucking liar!
Jesse.
You're a sphincter muscle, Adam!
A sphincter muscle, which even later on, John Travolta says, "You called me a sphincter muscle." Like, it's supposed to be a funny, cute like, moment, but it's
that,
like
a
weird
slip up. Like, did she just like add that in? It's like ad lib or something.
I don't, maybe
because that's too funny.
And she says it so seriously. She goes, "You're a real sphincter muscle."
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for her at that moment though, because I feel like, okay, you're letting your guard down. You shouldn't, not with this particular guy. And she should have known better. Like, obviously he wanted something from her, you know, like whether it was sex or a story or whatever. Like, he's just out for himself.
Yeah. And what I hate is what we're only being told is Jamie Lee Curtis wants to sleep with him because he's charming and cute. And well, that's a shame of an arc. Like, that's terrible.
I mean, it is.
I mean, it's so lame. She throws him out of the car. He gets back. And she, again, willingly, like, he starts trying to change what the story is. You know, the side story is that he won't give the tapes of the 3-hour tapes of that guy to, they're asking Rolling Stone is like, "You got to give those tapes to us, because if they subpoena them, we need to be able to cover our asses." And he says, "No, I told the guy that only I would listen to him." So we start believing that maybe he's also a liar and that he didn't actually get this and he made a fake article. The movie doesn't tell you because we didn't see it, but I can't tell if the movie wants us to feel that he might be an asshole, because everything we're seeing is he's kind of an asshole. And the reason I say that is because when the writing of what he's going to write about the club is about the these two actresses, which we said Lorraine Newman and Mary Lou Henner, which he's virtually calling them whores.
Yeah, it's terrible.
He's going to write an entire article where someone in the club says, "Oh, she's the most used gym equipment in the club," which is fucked up. And now this is a really sad girl, a woman, who I feel the movie doesn't give enough time to actually explore her, because it could be a really interesting emotional plot line where she's kind of alone, because you find out that the other friend,
Mary Lou Henner, her name is Sally.
Sally. She is actually dating a
stripper, a Chippendale.
I'm sorry, but they don't want to be
called exotic dancer.
Thank you, Joe.
A man of the night. We just fucking high-fived. You can't see it, but we high-fived.
Oh, God.
This is what our marriage is.
Yeah, I mean, there's an entire scene. By the way, again, a padding scene, literally padding scene. Just a guy doing his entire... He actually pop locks in a thong.
Okay, please. Anyone who has seen this movie, if you could just tell me what's happening. This is the most unsexy dance. Number one, he's wearing a jock strap and not even a little tiny Speedo or a thong or anything. He's wearing a jock strap.
It's a jock strap. I didn't,
there was nothing less sexy. Okay, it's awful. It's
hilarious.
Awful. And then he's like kind of gyrating, not in a sexy way, but then he starts pop locking.
He does pop lock.
I mean, even Turbo and Ozone would be like, "Damn, that's some pop and locking." It was, like, I mean, really, I don't even know how to put this. This is not a sexy, exotic dance.
Yes,
at all.
Not at all. And we have to watch the whole thing. And he is in a relationship with Sally and actually asks her to marry him at a birthday party.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. Okay, so there's this one couple that you... No, they're fine. They're cute.
Yeah, but the problem is they're telling stories about their past, about how they would go to the singles bars and they couldn't meet anybody, and that they actually had notches on their stools, like the sex escapades that they've had.
Oh.
And they keep kind of talking about it, and it's sad because the friend, Lorraine Newman's character, she is actually very hurt that she is still single while the other one is getting married. And she kind of takes it out on her, but she quickly apologizes.
Yeah, they had a girl moment.
Yeah, they had a moment where she's like, "I'm going to be alone." Yeah. And it's sad. But John Travolta sees all this, and he's still writing an article and writing things down like, you know, she's used and she sleeps around.
Yeah,
and
well, okay, here's her famous line in the movie. So he's in the kitchen talking to this poor woman, Linda, and, you know, he's heard things about her in the gym, about her being the most used piece of equipment in there, which is terrible. And he is listening to her cry, and she's sad, and she wants to get plastic surgery because she hates the way she looks, and she wants to be perfect. Sad. And it's just a terrible thing. This poor girl is just sad. She doesn't have anyone in her life, so she's trying to find Mr. Right. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And he exploits her so bad, but she says this line jokingly, I guess I'll go see if I can scare up a gangbang.
Yeah, and he writes it down.
And he writes that down. And she was just saying it as like a joke.
Yeah.
And he writes it down and he uses it in his article against her, which is freaking awful.
Well, that's the thing. He actually is writing an article. And now what's crazy about the movie is even after he was trying to tape Jamie Lee Curtis's character, she goes back to him, sleeps with him again, and after they've had sex, she goes and looks at his computer and sees the article and sees the notepad of all these terrible things that he's saying about these two women.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the people that she's friends with at the club. And I don't even know why she went back after what she already had seen. Where is enough calling to her? But she erases the entire article and destroys his work.
Yes, but this is after, isn't this after Frankie, the photographer from the Rolling Stone magazine, goes and takes pictures of the gym?
Yeah. That's
and, true. You know, she goes in. So Rolling Stone magazine brings their team in to take photos of them at the gym and all the people that, you know, are there and Sally and all of them. And she takes these provocative photos and, you know, with their legs spread open and, you know, touching their breasts and stuff and like these, just making them look really bad.
Yeah.
And so after all of this, you know, Jamie Lee erases the article on the computer, but that does not stop the others that work at Rolling Stone, like the editor.
Well, it's mostly because that photographer recognizes her.
Yes. So Frankie, the photographer, recognizes Jamie Lee. She's like, I've seen her before. And other people at Rolling Stone say, I have seen her before, too. She looks very familiar. And so
they quickly put it together.
Quickly put it together.
She was the Olympian.
She was the one that had the affair with the coach, blah, blah, blah. And so they're like, okay, we're going to exploit all of this. So they wrote the article.
Well, actually, he rewrites the article to do the right thing and write what he originally told Jamie Lee Curtis he was going to write. And he sends it to Rolling Stone. They absolutely hate it. And they call in an actor who is in so many movies we love in a weird bit moment. He was in Night of the Creeps. He's in Crazy People, which I absolutely love. He comes in and rewrites it, but they still use John Travolta's character's name. And they write the article about everybody being prostitutes, but they also write the article on Jamie Lee Curtis being at that club too and her past.
Yeah, and they call her a homewrecker and all sorts of things. And it's just, they just destroy these people. Destroy them for no reason. No reason at all.
And use his name.
Yeah, and so obviously that blows up.
Yeah, because he finds out, he keeps calling her and he's like from Morocco for some strange reason. Oh, by the way, trust me. But then she sees the article and it is calling them all out. Then he comes home from Morocco, sees the article. He tries to go after her like a wild stalker, chases her down virtually while they're doing a March of Dimes event and hounds her, believe me, even going into a women's locker room.
Yeah.
I didn't write it. Now, it's like, at this point, I would never give him the time of day. And he hurt so many people, you know, at this club that were nice to him.
Yeah, and you know, what if she didn't erase the article? Would he have turned that in?
He would have turned that
in. So, and that's, it was a terrible article. So, like, you were already going, you plan to already destroy these people for no reason.
Yeah, and because that she erased it, now you deserve some kind of credit.
Right. I'm like, what is wrong with you, man?
I don't understand the movie.
I didn't understand that either. Like, you were going to turn in this article about, you know, this scathing, terrible article about these people for no reason. They are not bad people.
Yeah.
And you are now upset because they rewrote it and put your name on it. It's the same sleaze you were going to write.
Exactly. That was your article anyways. And then what's even crazier is he goes after Rolling Stone, the edit, the chief, his boss, with a baseball bat.
Oh my God. And fucks up his office.
He goes nuts. And I'm like,
and they don't call security or anything. They just allow that to happen.
You're nuts. You're crazy. And he leaves. And now all of a sudden the FBI, first off, these FBI agents come up to him, and I think, and I'm not sure, I'm going to have to listen to it again, but it sounds like he said, the FBI agent says, can we subpoena you?
I feel like he did say that.
We have a subpoena for you?
No, they ask him if they can subpoena him.
Yeah, right? I was like, what?
Mr. Lawrence, we're from the FBI. And we have a subpoena for you.
But he, okay, first of all, isn't withholding evidence an obstruction of justice?
Yes.
I feel like he had evidence, but they never really let us in on, like, really, did he or did he not? But so, he goes to court.
So what happens is they force him to go and testify in the case that he, for Wyndham Earl. And, and he refuses to give the evidence because he said, I promised him I would never let anybody else hear it. So you think that Wyndham Earl's going to be like, you know, he kind of makes a face like he appreciates him. But we're still thinking, what if he really sleazily made this all up?
That's true.
But they actually send him to jail because he refuses. And it turns out that Wyndham Earl is not guilty. And he gets off anyways, allowing John Travolta to get out of jail. But what's crazy during the scene is Jamie Lee Curtis shows up at the court to watch him because of all of this press that he's getting, that he won't throw a guy under the bus with the tapes because he promised. But he has thrown everybody at the health club under the bus. So why now do you feel like, you know what,
he has integrity for? Yeah.
Yeah. What? And she, then this is even better. The guy he threatened with a baseball bat tells Jamie Lee Curtis that he didn't write the article. Off camera, by the way, but that's the assumption. Why would he do that? And why would a guy that got threatened with a baseball bat be so like, you know what, I'm going to give him credit.
Yeah.
By the way, there's this Rolling Stone magazine. They have Hunter S. Thompson on the damn thing. And you're telling me that this is the guy, they're going to rewrite his article and say he's crazy while Hunter S. Thompson is doing what he's doing? It's like, what? Okay, Rolling Stone. All right, sure. You know, you famously had, what's his name? Who's the
Dr. Gonzo?
No, I was going to say another writer for Rolling Stone. What's his name? No, Cameron Crowe. When he was a child, was able to follow Led Zeppelin around.
Was it Cameron Crowe?
Yeah.
Isn't that who did Almost Famous?
Yeah.
He directed that. Cameron Crowe. Yeah, you're right.
Kind of based on his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, Rolling Stone, don't tell me that you have like morals. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's so crazy.
We're a dignified magazine.
There's a part in this movie where they're worried about the picture they're going to use of Mick Jagger. And then they're like, let's throw him out of the bus because he won't give tapes up.
I know. And then they post a picture of the girl, poor Linda, with her legs spread open in the gym equipment.
And it says, use the equipment.
Oh, my God. I was terrible. Like, you have absolutely no integrity whatsoever if you're posting this sleaze. Yeah. Like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah, stop. I mean,
Jamie Lee is like so dumb in this movie.
He could have wrote for Mad Magazine, and I would just as much believe that he was writing for that and making these articles up than Rolling Stone magazine. Exactly. It's so bizarre.
I mean, but it's ridiculous.
And now Jamie Lee Curtis feels some kind of like owes him some kind of debt, and like she's in love with him, so she runs after him and waits for him to get out of jail, which could take a year. If you think about it,
well,
that guy's on trial. We've seen cases go forever.
Yeah, but the case got thrown out. He was found not guilty. And then the contempt, we know by watching My Cousin Vinny that Vincent LaGuardia Gambini, he only served one day in jail.
That's right.
It was the only time he could actually sleep in peace.
These days, you can be contempt of court and like in the court and not even go to jail. So, I mean, whatever.
Oh, God.
But yeah, he gets out of jail. Jamie Lee Curtis is waiting for him. He gets in the car and they drive off into the sunset. A loving couple and the most romantic meet cutes ever. Let me tell you, can you imagine telling your kids, how did you guys meet? You know, I stalked her a little bit. You know, I was going to write an article about her. I was going to destroy every one of her friends that she still works with. How are they going to get over this? But yeah. You know what? You know, who cares? We're in love with each other.
I didn't feel that love at all. I mean, in fact,
I didn't feel the drama or the romance.
I thought Jamie Lee's character, Chesty, was completely dumb. Like, everything about... Like, you're telling me you have this past trauma with reporters doing you wrong, and then you're just gonna jump in bed with one?
Yeah.
I mean, she jumped in bed with him so fast.
I was mad about it when it showed.
I was like, okay, so I guess you don't have any more trust issues because he's cute?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? And then she has the nerve to get all upset and pouty and slam shit around and be all hurt and bothered. You know he's a sleazy reporter. Like, you knew what you were jumping into bed with.
Exactly. That's my point here. This movie is baffling. Like, just baffling. This is, if you need to have background noise and you want to watch a movie where you also feel like you have to do other things, this is the perfect movie.
Because I see what you did.
Oh, I didn't even mean it.
Son of a bitch.
I actually wrote a movie review while I was watching this. I did some internet research. I wrote some facts down. I was able to take my time. While watching this film.
Almost 2 hours of nothingness.
That's what I'm saying.
There was nothing going on.
There's literally an hour of movie in this movie.
I mean, there's no message, really.
No. Nothing.
There's no lessons learned.
Be a better journalist?
And she should
Does
be
he a, have a job?
No. And she should be a better judge of character, because she's terrible.
Yeah, she's going to be with him now.
Ew.
I'm only assuming there's a world where these two people stayed together.
I mean... It's awful. I mean, there's nothing, like, you don't feel any kind of feelings towards them. Like, you know, when you watch, like, a romantic comedy, you feel like, oh, these people should be together. You know, like, they're cute.
Yeah.
But
this is the perfect movie for him to have a funny friend.
You yeah. know,
somebody who, like, makes that time or saying the things that the people feel, you know, who does the voice for the audience. This movie could have used that.
Yeah, I think we needed that.
Yeah.
Because this movie didn't have anything. There was nothing funny. There was nothing romantic about it. I mean, even the plot, it meant nothing to anyone.
It really doesn't.
I mean, it meant nothing. We're supposed to know anything about this Mackenzie guy and why he's on trial, but they literally don't really tell us anything. Why are we supposed to care? And there's too much going on in this movie that's all fluffed up. They could have cut it out by, like, you know, a half an hour. I mean, I could just watch more gyrating for 20 more minutes and be done.
Oh.
That was so funny.
Hands down, I could have watched... I mean, I feel like they could have just edited this into a workout tape and made some money off of it that way.
Oh my God, Jamie Lee probably could have made a fortune doing a workout tape just based on this movie.
So true.
For real, because she's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Linnea Quigley has one, for God's sake, so why can't Jamie Lee Curtis?
She's. I mean, you know what, though? I say, because they're both scream queens, they should do it together.
I didn't even think there was a connection, but there is
yes,
a connection.
Yes, there is. They are both scream queens. I say yes. Do it. Do it.
All right.
Yeah, drag in Barbara Crampton while you're at it. You have a good time. Good time.
Now, you know, I wonder if Wyndham Earle gives John Travolta's character a job.
When is he going to give him a job?
I don't even know what he likes computers. We spent a lot of time with it, and I think he has something to do with computers. I don't really know the plot, actually. But I feel like there's a world where he's like, hey, man, you went to jail for me.
I mean...
We didn't even talk about the subplot. There's another subplot where he stalks another person and ruins their lives. It turns out Wyndham Earle is paying for his ex-girlfriend's apartment, and she's a stripper.
Yeah.
And she has a husband who lives with her in that house that this guy paid for. And he goes and interviews them. And the husband is like, stay away from my wife. And he puts her face in the damn newspaper.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Rolling Stone magazine.
It was pretty bad. And I was like, wow, you are ruining lives left and right.
And when Jamie Lee Curtis finally leaves him after erasing the article, he gets knocked out by that husband who came and found him.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I feel like, you know, he gave John Travolta what we all wanted to give John Travolta at that moment. A nice big punch in the gut.
But that's another scene of like, are you kidding me? Another person you're going to ruin?
True.
And like,
well, his life was falling apart. He deserved what he got. I mean, he was
getting at
this being harassed,
a crazy thing
by the FBI. He was thrown in jail. He fucked up the whole entire situation he had with people at the gym. Like, yeah, he was having a real bad time.
Yeah.
So good for him. Screw him. He was an asshole.
He's an asshole. Ends up with a woman at the end. He ends up with the girl that he loves. Girl. Yeah, he gets the girl.
Ah, she's the worst judge of character on the planet. Whatever. Finn, we're done.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
What are you going to give this movie?
Well, was it incompetent filmmaking? Yeah.
It is.
I mean,
the directing might be the biggest problem here, or at least the editing, the lack of editing.
The writing is the problem. There is no plot that's even coherent in this movie. What is the reasoning of this movie? There's nothing. Like I said, we didn't need any Mackenzie trial or this or that. We could have just watched her and him falling in love, and that could have been a little romance and just whatever. And throw in some drama, you know, some things happen, someone gets their feelings hurt or some bullshit. But you don't need all this extra fluff. It's too much fluff. I'm sorry. I'm going to give this... You know what? Not even the songs could save it.
No, nothing.
Usually they, you know, Berlin was in there. I like Berlin, from, you know, the 80s.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You know, Metro.
Oh, the random scenes where people are cooking and they're filming. Or the random scene where there's a whole bunch of people dressed like Boy George outside of a hotel for no reason.
Yeah, I thought they were having a Boy George convention, which I would totally attend one of those.
Yeah, but it wasn't. They thought he was staying at the hotel that John Travolta was staying in, and so that's a backdrop in the movie for no reason.
There's like 100 people dressed like Boy George, and I was like, okay.
How strange is that?
Are they going to all start singing because this would be amazing?
Nice.
You know, they did not. So this movie really gave me nothing. I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay, I'm going to go 4.
I don't know, man. This movie, there's too much fluff. Too much. And I'm not talking about Jamie Lee Curtis's honkers. I'm talking about the fluff.
I feel like I'm going to give it a 4. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I'll go with a 3.
It's not a good film.
It's not a good film. And I can see why I feel like there is a decent movie to be made out of what they made. Like if they cut it down and tightened it and got rid of some of the subplots for no reason.
Yeah.
And they could have definitely made a better film. If this was made into a romantic comedy, then I think that this probably would have maybe nailed what it was going for.
Yeah. I would have rather have seen a romantic comedy. You know, because I think Jamie Lee, I really do adore her. I like her as a human being too. I think she seems to be a cool person. I like her movies. I like her as an actress. I think she's great.
Me too.
And I can watch her do anything.
Yeah.
So, but whatever, you know, it's a 3.
So, all right. On our list, we ask, is this the worst movie ever made? It's not the worst movie ever made. It's not good. We don't recommend it. We can see why it bombed and why it has a 4.7 on IMDb. But on our list of movies that we have, I'm going to slap this sucker right above Beach Balls.
What number is that?
Number 20.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. Okay, I like that. All right. And that brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out the two extremes of online reviews, and I'll give you a 1-star and a 10-star review, just as proof that people who do these ratings on IMDb ruin the rating system for every one of us, because these are just a joke. All right, let's start with the 1-star review. This is titled... Or the very opposite of perfect. Wow, here it is. Very likely the worst movie I have ever seen. I had read about this film long ago, but never seen it. What was going on, if anything, in the minds of the people involved? This must be the movie which inspired Showgirls. I thought that this was the worst until I I thought that was the worst until I watched this. No wonder so many actors' careers seem to end with this one. I finally understand the meaning of bad taste.
It's interesting. I mean, I actually made a lot of those points, too. I brought up Showgirls.
Mm-hmm.
And I did bring up the career problems.
Yep.
Interesting. But I mean, not a one. No. I'm very feeling iffy on my three, but
A one is dirt. I mean,
Showgirls is way worse.
Showgirls is a one. Showgirls is a one.
I wouldn't give a Showgirls a one.
Oh, it's trash. I can't. Know me. Go fuck yourself.
Don't get on it. Don't let it get into your mind.
Okay, you started it.
No, that person did. What was the name of that person?
Name of this person is, oh God, Inframan.
Get out of here. Inframan. I swear to you, I didn't write that.
You're not Inframan, you fool.
It's something I would have used if anybody listened to our Inframan episode and knew how much I loved that damn movie.
Oh my God, how funny. All right. So I got a 10 star.
This is insane.
This exists.
John Travolta wrote this.
No, this guy's name is Filkatik. Filkatik. I don't know what that means. Maybe he actually put his real name in there. I don't know. All right, this is a 10 out of 10. Jamie Lee Curtis looks her best. Jamie Lee is enough reason for me to watch this flick. Jamie Lee in tight leotards, yummy. Good acting also. You have to see it. 10 out of 10. Fucking schmuck.
This guy only watches the one clip over and over and over.
Yummy. Yeah. Yummy.
I feel weird sexualizing her so much, but she is stunning.
Oh, okay. Well, you know that I'm a huge fan of hers. Yeah. I think she's great. I think she's a great actress all around. I also think she's beautiful. I've always thought that. And I don't think you should use those words. You know, I mean, I joke around. I say honkers and
yeah, I know.
You
know, that's what I'm saying.
But I joke around. I'm a woman, for Christ's sake. I am not gonna downplay her. I think she looks amazing. But this fool, the whole reason you're giving it a 10 out of 10 is because she's yummy. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's just insane.
Yummy. What a fucking dickhead. I have no word. 10 out of 10. Because she's yummy.
Oh my gosh. I hope this person doesn't see Dinosaur Island.
All those girls are yummy.
Yummy.
10 out of 10. 10 stars, Angel. 10 stars.
You know what's funny about this movie? There is some weird, there's some funny trivia where Tarantino talked about this movie and said that he kind of like referenced the fact that they think that the reason the movie failed was because of her acting, like saying that the over-sexualizing her might have hurt the movie. But I'm like, that's probably the only reason people saw the movie.
Yeah. And can I just state for the record that they over-sexualize everyone? They're all doing the same gyrations in this movie.
Why Tarantino went after that is beyond me. But John Travolta himself said he would not have taken back this movie. He was very happy that he did it, and he got to work with the people he got to work with.
Yeah.
So you know, he seems like a top-notch guy for saying that.
Good for you. I know.
Do you like when people go back on the movies that they chose? Like, I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's happening a lot recently.
I am going to bring this up again just because it's very fresh in my mind. But I was pissed off when you said that Kyle MacLachlan walked out of the premiere of Showgirls because he was so ashamed.
He didn't.
You read the script, you fucking asshole.
Okay. The difference is that when you see a finished product, a script is much easier to get an idea of. But when you see what is done on screen, or you see like her acting in that movie is so insane. It is different in concept, is much different in execution.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you on that, because he literally had her bits in his face. Now you're telling me that you have this scene going on right now and you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a great film. Or you have her in a pool and she's acting like she's possessed by a demon. Yeah, this is going to be a great film. Or...
We'll back up on this one, because if we're going to talk about Showgirls again, it's going to be the movie that haunts us for a while.
Well, he was in a scene acting with this chick.
My point is, he signed on to the movie. At that point, when he started filming those scenes, he can't take it back. You're in a contract now and you're doing the scenes. He said when he signed on, he wanted to work with Verhoeven, who he said was a great director at the time. And he is, he did RoboCop, and he's like, this guy was making some very interesting stuff, Basic Instinct. Then he said he started doing the movie and he started slowly realizing, I'm in a really terrible movie, aren't I? And that's what he said. He didn't walk out of the premiere, but he said he sat there and was disgusted about what had occurred that he had watched. He's like, I had to be a part of this. I was so excited to be a part of it. And then you see what you've done and you're like, what the hell? I feel like it goes with a lot of movies. And if you saw a movie and you were like, you saw the script, and you're like, okay, like this movie, it's a tight enough script where you go, okay, well, it's going to be this whole thing and I'm going to be a journalist and I'm going to learn to be a better person. It doesn't come out that way, but I can see on script it probably reads really well. But then you see the movie and you see how scatterbrained it is and how nothing feels like it gels together. And there's just so many padded out sequences that don't mean to be there, mm-hmm. that kind of take away from the story. I can see that after seeing the product, you'd be like, that's not exactly what I read.
I mean, I know. I mean, he couldn't just walk out of the freaking scene and be like, you know, yeah, deuces, no. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
He couldn't do that. I understand that. But I mean, I do give kudos to John Travolta because, you know what? Hey, I made a decision. I'm owning this. That movie was not, you know, the worst ever made. It just, the writing was really lackluster. There was really nothing there. The two of them together are cute, you know? I don't have any problem with them. So if they could make a romantic comedy together, that would be maybe something more like a step up, you know, than this.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's really interesting while doing research for this movie. I saw that him and Olivia Newton-John had made another movie together.
They did?
Yeah, it's another movie with them as the lead stars, like a romantic movie. And I'm like, now I'm fascinated to know what this movie is that was made after Grease.
Wow, what's it called?
I think I said it like Two of a Kind or something like that.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I'm more interested in that existing than I am the movie I'm watching right now.
Wow.
Which is a little shocking. Yeah, Two of a Kind. I was right.
Is that the movie he met his wife, Kelly Preston?
Oh, I don't know, because that was before this, and he was dating Mary Lou.
Oh, Mary Lou Henner at the time of this. Yeah, okay.
And the reason I said that was weird is because in the movie, the stripper dances on her, and she makes out with him and grabs his ass and everything right in front of him, and I was like, that's
yeah, but he has to make out with Jamie Lee.
I do remember ever seeing it.
Well, they're rolling around together.
Kind of in the shot through a doorway.
Yeah, and then he's like grabbing on her.
It feels strange, like they don't really ever touch each other.
They're skiing. Then he grabs on her a little bit when they're at the ski lodge.
Okay, I just didn't feel like it was ever a lot. Like it was ever really.
I don't know how these people do it anyway. I mean,
I don't either.
I could not be, even if I'm an actor, I couldn't be in a scene like having like a romantic, some kind of romantic scene with another man. And I'm not knowing that I'm married.
It's got to be impossible to film.
I would be so uncomfortable. Like I would be a terrible actress.
Yeah, I like that scene in Love Actually with.
Oh, and they're the two porn stand-ins.
Yeah,
it's not a porn.
It's supposed to be a movie a sex scene in a movie, but they have to be the stand-ins for the lighting.
Oh yeah,
it was Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman, yeah, they were so cute.
And they had to stand there and do all the shots and all the movements and act like it's nothing.
Yeah, and he has his hand on her breasts and everything. Yeah.
And is it cold? Do you want me to warm my hand up? So it's so cute. Awkward, but it's like that is gotta be insane to do.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
Do you have anything else about this movie?
I mean, no, there's like a lot of gyrating and a lot of like really, I mean, 80s people, you know, when I say 80s people, I mean like huge hair.
Yeah. That nostalgia might be there. That might be a thing that some people might gravitate toward and see a little more fun out of it is that there is that nostalgia factor of seeing the 80s.
Yeah. Everyone had the huge hair and stuff. And I love that. I love that so much. But, I mean, no, this movie, no.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm
I guess
see
we,
it again.
We can end on the best actor response to doing a bad movie ever, which I'm going to say is Michael Caine, who when making Jaws The Revenge was interviewed and said, because he famously filmed that movie instead of getting his Oscar win, he didn't go pick up his award because he was on the set of Jaws Revenge. And he said, when asked, do you know how bad, do you feel regret for making that bad movie? And he said, I've never seen the movie, but I've seen the house it built and it's beautiful. So Michael Caine wins.
Michael Caine does win.
Best response to making a bad movie.
Yeah. You know what? I think I was almost in Birdemic. I feel like I passed up on that opportunity.
Birdemic already happened. You could have been in either Birdemic 2. We're going to get to that one day because we're going to have to do that movie.
I feel like we could be rich and
we'll talk
right
about,
now.
We'll talk about No. No.
I mean,
we might have been disgusted
I
by ourselves.
I might have moved on to Sharknado 3 by this point if I had just taken that guy's card.
All right, everybody. Well, have a good night. Thank you for listening. Hit us up on social media on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night for me and Joe at The Crafty Misfit, making some crafty things.
Oh my
some
gosh.
Crafty fun things.
Heck yeah, lots of
no
stuff.
Perfect earrings though.
Oh,
no Jamie Lee Curtis or John Travolta throsting.
No, yeah. Damn.
But yeah, those. Hit us up on there. Tell us if you love perfect. Tell us if you have a theme that we should do, because this is all Beck's fault. This Girl Loves Horror
on
Instagram.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Beck.
We are doing all workout movies. So, yeah, next week, another workout movie. But if you have a theme for us, we would love to hear
this
it.
This is fun, though. And, thank you, Beck.
Yeah. And, yeah, please hit us up and tell us. So thanks again for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
Jesus Christ. Fucking liar. Your sphincter muscle, Adam.